Deuteronomy chapter 30. We'll start in verse 11. We've been here for the last few weeks. Moses, once again, speaking to the people of God. And this is what he says. This command I'm giving you today, it's not too difficult for you, and it is not beyond your reach. Now listen, today I am giving you a choice between life and death, between prosperity and disaster. For I command you this day to love the Lord your God and to keep his commands, decrees, and regulations by walking in his ways. If you do this, you will live and multiply, and the Lord your God will bless you and the land you are about to enter and occupy. Today, I have given you the choice between life and death, between blessings and curses. Now I call on heaven and earth to witness the choice you make. Oh, that you would choose life so that you and your descendants might live. You can make this choice by loving the Lord your God, obeying him, and committing yourself firmly to him. This is the key to your life. As we said last week, some choices are small, some choices are big, but all of our choices are vitally important. Moses goes as far to say, the choices that we make, they are the key to our life. And so that's why over the last few weeks, as we've been in this series of talks entitled You Choose, we've been talking about we've got to choose faith over fear. We got to choose peace over panic. We have to choose to speak life and to shine our light. We have to choose to follow the Holy Spirit. We've got to choose to be an example to those around us. And those are choices that we have to make every day. You see, every day you wake up, you are presented with the choice. That's why Moses said, today you have to choose. Every day you have to make this choice to choose faith, to choose peace, to choose life, to choose light, to choose to be an example. We have to choose. And Jesus, often speaking about what we have to encounter in this life and the choices that we are going to be forced to make. In John 16, verse 33, this is what he says, "And everything I've taught you is so that the peace which is in me will be in you and will give you great confidence as you rest in me." Now, don't miss that right there. Jesus said, the peace that is in me, I want that peace to be in you. You see, I don't want just the peace that the world can give. I want the peace that only God can give. I don't want just natural peace. I want supernatural peace. And that's what Jesus told us that we could have. But sometimes whenever we think about peace, we think about easy, we think about calm, we think without struggle, but that's not what Jesus was talking about here, because he continues in this verse and he says, "For in this unbelieving world, you will experience trouble and sorrows." He didn't say you might, he didn't say you could, he didn't say it's probable, he said you will experience trouble and sorrows, but you must be courageous, for I have conquered the world. You see, even in the midst of trouble and trials and sorrow, we can choose peace and we can choose courage because we can choose our perspective. You see, one of the sorrows that I've been hearing a lot over the last few weeks is the sorrow that we are not going to be able to gather together in the sanctuary on Easter Sunday for worship. Now, obviously, there are a lot of worse things happening in our world today, but people are genuinely upset and bothered and a little bummed out because we won't be at church. Now, hear me. We might not be at church, but you still are the church. We might not be at church, but you are the church. And we have to remember why Jesus came, why Jesus died, and why Jesus was resurrected from the dead. Jesus wasn't resurrected so that he could bless you on Sunday morning. No, Jesus was resurrected because he wanted to be with you every morning. Jesus didn't defeat death, hell, and the grave just so we could sit together on Sunday. No, he defeated death, hell, and the grave so that we could impact the world every single day. And you see, we get to choose our perspective. We get to choose our perspective on Easter Sunday. Are we going to choose the perspective that says, man, it's so sad and it's so bad that we can't be together in one room on Easter Sunday? Or are we going to choose the perspective that says, this is so good, and what an opportunity we have to allow more people to hear the good news about Jesus Christ more than ever before? Because the people that can watch online, we couldn't fit those people in the sanctuary. We don't have enough chairs, enough space, or even enough time on Sunday to fit them all in here, but they can all watch online, and you get to choose the perspective. Is it going to be so sad and so bad, or is it going to be so good because it's such an opportunity for people to have their lives transformed by the love of God and the grace of Jesus on Sunday, Easter Sunday, in one of our online gatherings? What perspective are you going to choose? Now, let's take a bigger picture, not just talking about what perspective we're going to take on Easter, but what perspective are you going to choose when it comes to 2020? Now, let's just be honest for a moment. 2020 has been a challenging year. 2020 has some people wishing they could go back to 2019, other people wishing that they could close their eyes, click their heels three times, and wake up in 2021. But when we came into 2020 as a community, we said this was our year of acceleration 2.0. We said this is our year of upgrade. And the big idea was this, was that if I'm going to upgrade my life, then I must master what truly matters. Maybe you remember in January, we talked about this a lot. We want to master what truly matters. And we said that there were two definitions for the word master. The first was this, to become skilled or proficient in, to become an expert. What does that speak to us? That speaks to us that there is a learning curve to our upgrade. There is something that I do not know right now that's going to help me become who I need to be in the future. There's something that I need to learn today that's going to allow me to do something different in my future. There is a learning curve. The second definition of the word master was this, to conquer or overcome. What does that speak to me? That speaks to me that this is going to be a fight. I am going to have to overcome some things that have been overcoming me. I'm going to have to conquer some things that I have never conquered in my life. It is going to be a fight. So if I'm going to upgrade my life, if I'm going to master what truly matters, that means I'm going to have to learn some new things, and then I'm going to have to fight to apply those things into my life. Now, this should have been a clue for us. This definition should have been the clue that 2020 might not be the easiest year, because upgrading doesn't come easy. You see, right now, there are three types of people. There are three types of people in 2020. There are people who are groaning through 2020. There are people who are going through 2020. And there are people who are growing through 2020. That's right. There are people who are groaning through 2020. They are complaining, they are whining, they are murmuring about this year. There are people who are going through 2020. They're just hoping things will change. They're just thinking maybe things will get better. They're just going through 2020. But then there are people who are growing through 2020. And once again, you get to choose. You get to choose. Are you going to be the type of person that just groans through the year? Are you going to be the type of person who just goes through the year? Are you going to be the type of person who grows through this year? And remember, the choices that you make, as Moses said, they are the key to your life. You see, I am so glad that the Bible gives us relevant and practical principles on how to handle and navigate the difficult moments and the tough seasons of life. I am so glad that the Bible doesn't just give me a bunch of fluff, but it tells me how to deal with my stuff. Come on now, you know the Bible is not just a bunch of fluff. The Bible speaks to our stuff, and we know what it is to have stuff. We know what it is to have challenges and struggles and shortcomings. We know what it is. And the Bible is just not a bunch of fluff. The Bible speaks so clearly to the stuff that we are dealing with in our lives. And that's right where we find, that's right what we find in Romans chapter 5. Where Paul is speaking, and he says in verse 3, he says, and we can rejoice too when we run into problems and trials. We can rejoice when we run into problems and trials. Have you ever read your Bible and just think, is that a typo? did they mess that up? Because this is not making sense to my brain. I can rejoice when I run into problems and trials. No, it's not a typo on your screen. It's not a typo in your Bible. Listen to what Paul says. For we know that they, what is they? They, the problems and the trials help us develop endurance. And endurance develops strength of character. And character strengthens our confident hope of salvation. Now, hear me clearly. We don't rejoice because of our problems, but we do rejoice in spite of our problems because we can see purpose in the pain. You see, we embrace the process because we know that we will see the progress. And you say, but Phil, how do you know that? How do you know that there is purpose in the pain? How do you know that when you get to the end of the process, there is going to be progress? Because the Bible gives us a promise. And that promise is found in Romans chapter 8, verse 28, and it says this, and we know that God causes everything to work together for the good of those who love God and are called according to his purpose for them. You see, the Bible says that God has this ability, this power to cause everything in our lives, the things that we invited into our lives, the things that we did, and the things that people sent into our lives, and the things that they did to us. It doesn't matter how it got to our lives, God has the unique ability, the supernatural ability to cause it to all work together for our good. So that's how I know. I am confident that there is purpose in my pain. I am confident and I know and I am fully convinced that at the end of the process, there is going to be progress because I have a promise in the Word of God that tells me it is so. Now, right there in Romans chapter 5, we see four things. I just want to spend just a few minutes looking at these four words. It says here that we have problems. Those problems help us develop endurance. That endurance produces character, and then that character produces confidence. Let's just take a moment and let's compare this spiritual principle to a physical principle. Let's take a moment and let's step away from the spiritual journey and let's compare this to a runner's journey. Who enjoys building endurance? The answer would be nobody. Because building endurance means that you are pushing your physical body further than it has ever gone before. And that hurts, and it is very uncomfortable. You see, nobody just decides, oh, I'm going to run a marathon on day one. No, you start by running a mile. Or maybe you start by walking a mile, or maybe you start just by walking to the end of your block. You see, runners have a problem, and that problem is pain. But that problem, pain, is the only way that a runner will be able to access their gain, which is endurance. See, they have a problem. The problem is pain, but that pain is the only way that they are going to access their gain, which is endurance. And this gain that the runner gets, this endurance that the runner gets, it helps the runner develop character. You say, how does that help a runner develop character? Because they begin to tell themselves things like this: I'm the type of person who doesn't quit. I'm the type of person who just keeps showing up every day and lacing up their shoes. I'm the type of person who fights for what they really want. I'm the type of person who can overcome any challenge. You see, that endurance is producing character in the runner. Now, watch what that character is doing. That character is developing confidence in the runner, because now the runner has run a mile, and now they've run 2 miles, and they say, man, because I ran 2 miles, I think I can run a 5K. And after they run the 5K, they're saying, you know what? I think I can run a 10K. And after they run that 10K, they're saying, you know what? I can do a half marathon. After they finish the half marathon, they say, I can run a full marathon. And the confidence comes as a result of the runner leaning into a problem called pain. You see, the end result of the runner finishing a marathon, it started because the runner was willing to embrace the pain, was willing to embrace the struggle. Now let's roll it back, not from the physical aspect. Now let's roll it back into the spiritual and what Paul is talking about here in Romans 5. And he says, when you run into problems and trials. Now let me just remind you, this is what Jesus already told us we would experience as long as we are on this earth. We will encounter problems and trials. So Paul says, hey, when you encounter what Jesus told you that you would encounter, when you run into those problems and trials, you can know that there is gain in your pain. That's right. When you run into these tough moments, you can know that there will be a gain for your pain. And as you embrace the struggle, you will increase in your endurance. And as you develop that endurance, you are going to develop in your character. Now, this character isn't like the runner's character. This character is Christ-like character. His character begins to be developed on the inside of you. And as you become more and more like Christ, then you will find a greater confidence in Christ and in his amazing grace and in his miracle-working power. This is the reason why the Apostle Paul says you can rejoice when you run into problems, because you know that even when you run into the problem, it is going to produce Christ-like character, which is going to give you greater confidence that God is who he says he is and God can do what he says he can do. You see, you can rejoice when you run into these if you have the right perspective. Because if you have the right perspective, hear me, you won't just groan through your pain. If you have the right perspective, you won't just go through your pain. If you have the right perspective, you will grow through your pain. You will lean into the discomfort knowing that it will produce something great in your life. Now, Hebrews 12 tells us this. It says, let us strip off every weight that slows us down, especially the sin that so easily trips us up, and let us run with endurance. There is that word again. Let us run with endurance the race that God has set before us. We do this by keeping our eyes on Jesus, the champion who initiates and perfects our faith. This race that we are running, the writer of Hebrews says, we need to run this race with endurance. Now, just a little reminder, that endurance is what produces character in us and produces confidence in him. So as you run with endurance, you are growing in character and you are also growing in your confidence in God. But now, how do we do this? How do we run this race? How do we go through this and deal with these problems, trials, and pain? How do we do this? The answer was right there in the scripture. We do this by keeping our eyes on Jesus. How do we deal with what we're facing in our world right now with the coronavirus crises all over the world. How do we deal with this? By keeping our eyes on Jesus. How do we deal with our struggle in our family right now? By keeping our eyes on Jesus. How do we deal with the uncertainty right now about the economy? We do this by keeping our eyes on Jesus. How are we going to make it? We are going to make it by running our race and keeping our eyes on Jesus, because he is our champion. How do you become a champion? You become a champion when you defeat something. You become a champion when you overcome something. And that's what Jesus did. Jesus has already overcome the world. He has already conquered it all. And as we keep our eyes on him, the Spirit, his Spirit is living on the inside of us. And because he conquered, we can conquer. Because he overcome, we are reminded that we can overcome too. Because he's not just a God in heaven. No, he is the God who is with us, strengthening us, empowering us, and encouraging us along this journey. So we keep our eyes on him. Now you may be thinking, now this sounds familiar a little bit. Yeah, because that's what we came into this year talking about. This year we said, if we're going to upgrade our life, there's got to be a recipe. There's got to be a recipe. There's got to be a position that we can get in. And we said, oh yeah, this is it. This is the recipe. Eyes up, head up, hands up. We said we have to get our eyes up, because whatever has your attention has you. See, our eyes up, it's all about our attention. Whatever has your attention has you. So we got to keep our eyes on Jesus. We got to keep our attention on the right thing. And we said we can't just live with our eyes up. We got to live with our head up. That speaks to our attitude. And we said that our attitude follows our attention. That's why it's so important that you keep your eyes on Jesus, because your attitude is going to follow that. And we know that our attitude is our settled way of thinking or feeling about someone or something. And so when I keep my eyes on the right thing, I can keep my mind and my emotions headed in the right direction. It's not enough just to live with my eyes up and my head up. I also have to live with my hands up. This is about availability. This is about me saying, how can I serve? What can I give? Where can I be a blessing? Eyes up, head up, and hands up. As we bring this sermon to a close, and not just this sermon to a close, really this entire series to a close, I want you to know you have the power to choose. You have the power to choose your perspective. Whenever you feel pain, you have the ability to choose to see your gain. And your perspective is going to determine whether you groan through this year, go through this year, or grow through this year. Now, this is why your perspective is so important, because your perspective is going to determine your posture. Your outlook on this year is going to determine whether you choose to live eyes up, head up, and hands up in this posture, or whether you choose to live with your eyes down, your head down, and your hands down. And your posture is what will determine if you prosper. Your posture will determine if you prosper. Now, I'm not talking about financial. I'm not talking about wealth. What I'm talking about is you living in a flourishing, thriving, and successful condition. Your posture will determine if you prosper. You see, it's not what is happening around you, it's what is happening within you that matters. And you get to choose. It doesn't matter what 2020 looks like for the world. It doesn't matter what 2020 looks like for our country. It doesn't even matter what 2020 looks like for your neighbor. You see, in 2020, you can experience your upgrade whenever you decide, I'm going to master what matters. I'm going to learn something new, and I'm going to fight a battle that I've never fought. I am willing to lean into this pain. I am willing to run into this trial. And when I run into this trial, I'm going to see the gain that's going to be on the other end for me. And when I approach life with that perspective, it puts me in the right posture. And when I get in the right posture, I can prosper like never before. And that's what I'm believing for you right now in this season of life, that you can prosper in your soul, that you can have a thriving, flourishing, and successful condition inside of you like never before in your life. And it goes all the way back to what Moses said, you choose. It's your choice today. It's not your neighbor's choice. It's not your governor's choice. It's not the world's choice. It's your choice today. And today you can choose to have the right posture. Today you can choose to have the right perspective. And today you can make those choices so that you will prosper in your life. Come on, can we pray? Father, thank you so much for your word. God, thank you that your word gives us tools and handles that we can navigate through the difficult moments and seasons of life. And for surely, God, we are in one of those moments right now. But God, we know that your word is truth. We know that your word is the rock and the foundation for our lives. We know in your word we find hope and we find guidance and direction. So as we look into your word today, God, we see that even though we run into trials and trouble, even though we encounter problems and sorrow, God, that we can have a perspective and a posture that will allow us to prosper even in the most difficult of seasons. And if that's you right now, and you say, Philip, that's what I want in this season of life. Philip, I don't want to groan through it. I don't want to go through it. Philip, I want to grow through it. I'm going to embrace the pain so that I can develop that endurance and that character and that confident hope of God in my life. That's what I want. Come on, if that's you right now, you just talk to God and say, God, that's me. God, that's what I want. Just you and God right now. This is not about you and your neighbor. This is about you and your creator right now. Say, God, that's me. That's what I want. I choose to live with the right perspective so that I can live in the right posture so that my life can prosper in 2020. In Jesus' name, we pray and believe. Come on, put an amen on that today.